Blog Talk Radio.
Religious church, wherever you are, I need you to put your hands on it like this. Come on. Yep. Everybody climb like this, like this. We want to see you. Yeah, no. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Say, I want to see you. Just open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Cause I want to see you. That's our heart today. I want to see you. Wherever you are, let's raise it together. Come on, take it.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see. Come on, if you want to see him in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the chaos.
I want to see.
Come on, just ask him today. Oh, 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 say, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see it like you see.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Our prayer today is that you would open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I wanna see you. Stay right there. I wanna see you. Come on in your homes, tell them. I wanna see you. The hope of glory. I wanna see you. Jehovah Jireh. I wanna see you. Come on, talk to him. I wanna see
you.
You're what we want, oh God, and I wanna see you. See, I wanna see you. Give us your eyes today, God. Give us your view today. Give us your perspective today. Help us to see through your lens today, oh God. Help us to see that everything is gonna be alright. And I wanna see you.
I wanna see you.
Oh God,
I wanna
see you. Lift those hands right here. Say
I wanna see you.
This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together, and let us enter into his gates with praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And let us enter into his holy courts, saints of God, with praise. Good morning. You are indeed listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, January 29th, 2023. Now, praise the Lord, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses my soul to be joined by the anointed servant leaders here at Spirit of Life in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, and Pastor Vanessa Carver. So on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive this morning, we would like to say welcome, welcome, welcome. And we pray that you will hear something on today that will truly uplift your spirit and bless your soul. Now at this time, we are going to go to opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace just thanking you for another beautiful day you've given us to come together as a spiritual family to worship and praise you, Heavenly Father. We pray today for the message that Pastor Vanessa will be delivering today, and we pray for Pastor Vanessa to be able to deliver the message to those who need to hear the message, Heavenly Father, that it will give them the strength that they need to be, and maybe the courage to come to you, Heavenly Father, and want to follow you and your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the message that we're about to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Forgive me, I have done something I never should have done.
Sometimes you just don't even want to say the things that you're dealing with. You can just cry out, oh. You know what I said? I said, I want to be right.
I want to be.
Anybody want to be right tonight? Say that with me. I want to be right. Come on.
I want to be right.
When I want to do good, evil is always present. But I say, I want to be right. Have you ever said, I'm not going to do that thing again and find yourself in the same situation? Somebody just say, I want to be right. Come on, throw your hands up and say, I want to be right.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the living God for the gift of repentance. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday, we ask Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell to come, and she will read to you from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please, my brothers and sisters, retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning again, everyone. And I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far you are. Our meditational reading this morning is entitled, You Matter to God. We'll be looking at John 10 and 3. And a snippet of that says, He calls his own sheep by name. Now, do you sometimes feel like you are just a face in a crowd or a number in a system? You are identified by your social security number. Even when you see the doctor, you are called by your Q number. If you feel depersonalized and dehumanized, that is exactly how the devil wants you to feel. That you do not matter much to anyone, especially to God. But you do matter to God. He calls you by name. He knows exactly what you are going through and where you are hurting. He sees you and cares for you, just as he cared for the people when he first walked on earth. My friends, he will do for you what he did for the woman in Samaria. There was a shorter route from Judea to Galilee, but the Bible says he needed to go through Samaria. John 4:4 tells us about that. In other words, Jesus deliberately took a longer route so that he could stop by Samaria to speak to the woman who had been searching for something in her life to satisfy her. The woman had had five, and the man she was living with was not her husband. Clearly, things had not been going right in her life. She was probably looking for answers and fulfillment and must have felt ashamed about her failed marriages and current lifestyle. Yet, in spite of all this, she mattered to Jesus. He needed to go to her to minister to her. And indeed, after she met Jesus, the perfect man, she was transformed. She was no longer ashamed and went into the city to tell the people about him. You can read about that in John 4:28 and 29. Beloved, Jesus came a long way from heaven for you. You certainly matter to him. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. John 10:10 tells us that. You are not just a face in a crowd or a number. No. He knows you by name and has personal love for you. And in spite of the mess which you might be in, he wants to meet your every need and make your life beautiful. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought
Amen.
Of the day, you do matter to God. He knows what you are going through and wants to meet your every need. Amen and glory to God.
So many times we feel lost because we've strayed away or somehow lost our way. And you feel that what you've done, you cannot recover from. But remember the word says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. I've disobeyed your word. I've slipped out of your will. Regretful I stand. Me again. Speak to your Father. Say it with
yes.
me. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. Forgive me, O Lord. It's me again. I've disobeyed your word. I've slipped out of your will. Remorseful I stand. Me again. I challenge you today to say it. Come on. You to say it with a sincere heart. Lift your voices in request of the Lord.
Oh, merciful Father, would you have me back again?
Personal to you. Come on.
Have mercy on me, Lord.
Oh,
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we just personally and collectively take our petitions, our supplications, and our intercessions to the Lord in prayer. And we want you to know that here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, hallelujah, not only do you matter to God, but your concerns matter to us. So when we pray trusting, believing, and expecting God to move. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because we know that God is able to do all things but fail. Yeah. And not only that, he will do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even think to ask. So yeah. Right now, I would like for you to bow your hearts with me, huh, as we go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Most High, we come this morning before your throne of grace with praise on our lips and a heart full of thanksgiving, because we know that you are our Father and that we live, move, and have our very being in you. Lord, we come this morning just praising you, hallelujah, and thanking you for mm-hmm. your darling son, Jesus, through which we gain our salvation, Lord God, through which we receive eternal life. And Lord God, we thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit that indwells on the inside of us, Father, leading us, teaching us, guiding us in all the things that you would have us to do. So right now, Lord, out of obedience to your holy word and out of our love for you and your people, we just come this morning standing. Lord, we come standing in the gap this morning. Hallelujah. This morning, we come standing in the gap and praying for and with the Nichols family and the whole Tennessee community mm-hmm. as they strive yeah. and they struggle to understand the madness.
Yes,
but Lord God, Lord God, that you are still in control. Lord God, we come standing this morning in the gap for those who are hurting, those who are feeling hopeless, those who are feeling, Lord God, forgotten, those, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, know they are being overlooked. Know that people believe that they are invisible. But, Lord God, we know that nobody's invisible to you. We know, Lord God, that you love all your children. Yes. Hallelujah. And we know, Lord God, that you have extended your salvation to each and every one of us. One
Amen.
And all. And we want to say thank you.
Yes.
Lord
thank
God,
you,
we
Lord.
Stand this morning in the gap, standing with, praying for the sick, Lord God, the shut-in, Lord God, the depressed, Lord
yes.
God, the discouraged, Lord God, because we know that you are a lifter of their heads, you, Lord God. So we pray this morning that you would just give them the strength, oh God, to raise up their heads and look to the hills from which cometh our help. Because, Lord
yeah.
God, you have said that you are the good shepherd. And you hear your sheep know your voice. But for us,
yeah.
before you can know our voice, God, we have to know yours.
Yeah.
So I pray that your word yeah. will bubble up in the minds, the hearts, and the spirit of the discouraged this morning. I pray that your holy word would bubble up in the hearts, souls, and minds of those who are depressed this morning. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that they would come to truly know what it means to stand on your word, stand
yeah.
and trust and depend on you. And Lord God, we're not talking about trusting you with a backup plan. We're saying we're trusting you. When our eyes see nothing and when our ears hear nothing, we still know that you're working it out. And not only
Amen.
Are you working it out, but you're working it out for our good, Lord God. And we come praising you this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord God, you are faithful even when we are not. Lord God, we come in the name of Jesus praying for these governments, Lord. Ha. We come, Lord God, because we know that they sit up on your shoulders. Lord, let our country get back. Huh? Either the leaders of this country stop worrying about classified or declassified papers and start running the country. Lord, we pray that they would do what they have been sworn to do in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray for their heart sets, their mindsets. And Lord God, we know that people might think it's futile to pray some things, but see, we know all things are possible with you. So, Lord God, we're praying against that spirit of greed. We're praying against that spirit of manipulation. We're praying against that spirit of wanting to be more than higher than you, Lord God, because we know there is none above you, God. There is none mightier than you, God, and nobody's going to take you out, not even the government. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us the leaders that would truly have a heart and compassion for your people and not their profit. Lord God, we pray this morning in the name of Jesus for every servant leader that they are standing in a pulpit or sitting behind a desk. Lord God, let them not just be pulpit performers, but let them be the teachers that you have called them to be. Let them be the equippers that you called them to be. Let them be the encouragers that you called them to be, so that your people might be equipped to do the work of the ministry. So that your people might go out and declare your goodness, your glory. Hallelujah. So that your people can participate in building your kingdom. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every healthcare worker, for every person out there on the front lines in every country around the world. I pray for those that have to deal with the carnage, Lord God, the aftermath of death. Lord, we're praying that you strengthen them this morning. And Lord God, we're just praying in the name of Jesus for those who are displaced all over this world due to natural disasters, Lord God. But we praise you, Lord God, for every life that is spared, was spared. We praise you, Lord, for every person, everything, every provision that you're sending in spite of. So Lord God, we come trusting you to do exactly what you said you would do. And Lord God, if there be any sick among us, I just pray that you would just touch us with your holy hand. And Lord God, I pray that you continue to bless the Spirit Alive family. Lord, please bless them pressed down, shaken together until running over. Lord, I ask that you bless them physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Continue, Lord God, to fill them up as they continue to pour out into your people, Lord. Continue to restore. Restore, Lord God, everything that has been depleted. Continue, Lord God, to just be a fence all around them, because we know that as we minister the gospel, everybody's not going to be real pleased with us. But, Lord God, it is absolutely necessary. So, Lord, just continue to bless. Continue to bless us, Lord God. Bless. Continue to strengthen us, Lord God, and let us never be weary of doing good, oh God. Let us, Lord God, pray without ceasing, oh God. Let us, Lord God, be your hands and your feet, oh God. Let us speak life into the situation, oh God. Let us continue, Lord God, to glorify you in all of our ways and in all that we do at all times. And, Lord God, let us do as much as we can for as many as possible for as long as we can, oh God. Let us go out of our way to do good, oh God. And Lord, let us, in all that we do, give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And it is in Jesus' holy and righteous name we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Holiness,
Holiness, holiness is what you want for me, for me.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. Thank you, Jesus. And this morning our message will be brought by a wonderful woman of God with a heart after God's own. She is an anointed teacher here on Spirit Alive, and she, as the host of her program, Wounded No More, hallelujah. So please, if you have not retrieved your Bibles, retrieve your Bibles and prepare to receive Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Apostle Cook. Today's message is called Repentance in the Heart of God. You can't talk about one without referring to the other. I believe that God has been dealing with me about repentance for a long time, not just on a personal note, but also as it pertains to the body of Christ. And if we pay attention to the things that are happening in our society, some of our spiritual and religious leaders many times will talk about the need for repentance. But as I begin to study this, and I am by no means close to even being done studying this, because when I prepared for this lesson for today, God was just saying to get more deeper into this and what it is going to require. I will say that there are things that about repentance that we have been there's things that we've heard about repentance in the body of Christ and teachings that kind of leave us in a place where we need a full understanding of it, or just begin to study it on our own. And one thing with repentance is an apology. An apology is a regretful acknowledgement of an offense or a failure, and is synonymous with the words confession, admission, explanation, or defense. So when we think of the word apology, one of the things I first learned about repentance was it had to do with turning away from. The word that I'm going to be referring to as just a small word study today comes from Matthew 4:17, which is the word metaneo. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But I think about repentance as it pertains to what Jesus did and what John the Baptist did and what many prophets call to repentance. So we want to have a working knowledge and understanding so that we can apply what true repentance is. So we're going to start with, and many of these definitions, especially the one about apology and repentance, come from the Oxford Dictionary, just to let you know. One thing that I want to highlight is that repentance is a verb. It's an action word. It's not just something that we do, you know, based upon more than just the intangible. It really will produce things that you do as it pertains to what you physically do. Tangible and intangible manifestation is what repentance, true repentance, will create. According to the Oxford Dictionary, this word is to feel or express sincere regret about one wrongdoing, sin, or to have deep remorse. That's what I'm going to go by, what the English dictionary says. When I take it to the biblical meaning of repentance, it's more than that, and that's where that word the Greek word metaneo means. One of the things that God was showing to me, because I always pray, what do you want to say, Lord? What you have to say and what your motive is in teaching this is first and foremost, more important than anything that I think or anything that I have discovered. It's about what you want. And one of the things he said is to build this bridge is a call to intimacy in order to cultivate true repentance. See, if we don't know what repentance really is based on what the word says, that's not true repentance. That's almost akin to what an apology would be like, an acknowledgement of a wrong, or to feel guilty about something, and then you begin to. Repentance from sin is not really the lane I'm going to either. It's more about repentance as it pertains to the heart of God. And see, when we accepted salvation, when we gave God our heart, he gave us his as well. And so we need to think about him being our Savior, but we also need to think about him being our Lord, and that is an exchange of hearts. That's an exchange there. He saved us from our sins. Yes, he did. So he is indeed our Savior. But when we think about repentance, I want you to think about you gave him your heart, but he gave you yours too. Okay? So when you think about protecting somebody's heart or being concerned about the heart of someone else, think about his heart right now when we talk about repentance. I want you to think along those lines and see if, and hopefully you can follow me because this is what God is talking about. And what I want to stress today is about when you gave God his heart, when you gave God your heart, he gave you his. Are you protecting his heart? Are you concerned about the things that would break his heart? Are you concerned about the things that would affect his heart towards you? Even though, excuse me, he is a God that will never hurt or harm us. And yet, we can't think of him, excuse me, we can't think of his heart as, excuse me, I'm sorry, as a natural heart. Because he doesn't hurt us and he doesn't break our hearts. But there are things that we have done, and I'm not just talking about sin before we knew him, that break his heart. But there's things, even how we think about one another, how we think about him, how we think about words that break his heart every day. And that's where I want you to dwell on. I want us to be able to learn to be sensitive and understand his heart and the things that get in the way of us being intimate to him. And we can think of our natural love towards for one another, agape love, eros love. And that even surpasses how God loves us. Are we willing, and we would be willing to love him from that place of repentance to where we're protecting his heart. And I want to bring a couple of verses to your mind. Okay? And I'm going to give you a definition, a working definition of what repentance is. This is more than an academic change of mind, nor mere regret or remorse. John the Baptist spoke of repentance as a radical turning from sin that inevitably became manifest in the fruit of righteousness. But Jesus' first sermon began with the same imperative. It was important to him for a discussion of the nature of repentance. We need to think about the nature of repentance is turning your mind. It's coming out of agreement with a thought process that produces an action. Let's just say that. Let's just take that for now. And there are so many scriptures when I think about the mind, which entails areas of the soul, and that has to do with your will, mind, and emotions. How you think, what you think is going to produce what you do. So we have to turn away. And there are many scriptures that I think of about the mind. Set your mind on these things that are above, not on things of the earth. That's in Colossians. When we think about Isaiah 26:3, it says he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. We think of Colossians 2:8. We also hear, see to it that no one takes you captive by the philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So anything be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. I can be quoting for the rest of the show, but scriptures that have to do with the mind and how we think. So we have to turn away a thought process. Repentance starts there, and then it affects our heart. When I think of the prophets in the Old Testament, like Nehemiah and Daniel and Hosea, they talk about turning from sin. And these are the things at that time, during that time period, administratively, that broke the heart of God was sin and rebellion for his people. He had a plan for them, and they had a plan for themselves. And many times it had to do with being rebellious, being willfully disobedient, not out of ignorance, just deciding that you know the word is before you, but you just want to go left when he's saying go right. Even if you take it as far as the book of Hosea specifically, I studied the Hebrew word havoc, H-A-V-H-A-F-A-K. And I'm going to read just a little bit of that and give you a little bit of background. In Hosea 11:8, he was a prophet called as well, addressing the sin of the Israelites. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as the Zeboim? Mine heart is turned. This is the part I really want you to focus on, and this is Hosea 11:8. My heart, and this is Hosea speaking for God, is turned within me. My repentings are rekindled together. And this talks about that word havoc means a churning and a turning. This is what was going on in the heart of God because of the people sinning repeatedly and being willful and making excuses. and giving empty sacrifices and doing things ritualistically, but their heart was far from God. And he told them to repent from that. Repent from that mindset. Repent from that heart posture. Repent from those actions that produce that. Repent. It's a full work. It's not just something that we do once and something that we say. It's not apologetic in your motive. It's a call to intimacy at first, because many times, how can you really say you're sorry if you don't know what you're sorry for? But how can you really say you're sorry when you don't know how it affected that other person? And see, when God had me study this, he said, okay, you're looking at it one-dimensionally. You can say, I repent from, you know, sin, agreeing with it's okay to be rebellious, it's okay to be abusive, it's okay. You know, all these things that separate us and make us fall short from God for his purposes for us, which is one of the definitions of sin. But when we begin to think about how did it affect the heart of the one we sinned against? How did it affect his heart? How did it affect not just him being disappointed in us, but when we think about in the natural, there are certain things in our lives that we've experienced that have really broken our heart. If you think of your first love or, you know, puppy love, or you think of your first breakup, or you think of losing, you know, a job or something very important to you, how it really impounded you, a loss of a loved one is heartbreaking, you know. But I think that sometimes our grief when it comes to loss of a loved one can be kind of selfish in a way. So I want you to think beyond that. I want you to think about maybe the time when something really broke your heart and think about why. And then begin to think about how vulnerable you felt afterwards. Think about that in the natural. But even in those limited sentiments, God's far beyond that. So we have to think about our actions and what repentance really means. And he said it's a churning, and it just ripped my heart apart when we lose someone. And when, or somebody is suffering and we didn't know nothing about it, or we watch something on TV or we hear about something that doesn't just anger us. Sometimes it's heartbreaking. Anger is a secondary emotion. So we have to think about I can think of the many times that I've been really angry in my marriage and different things we've gone through. The Lord would say to me, you're not mad, you're hurt. What are you hurt about? So I want you to start to really think about repentance as it pertains to not just what you did, but how it affected heart, God's heart. Think about how he felt about what you did, or in some cases didn't do. Disobedience, being prideful, being unforgiving, justifying things that you know. How did that make him feel? And that will give you a start of an understanding and really truly be able to turn away from it. We have to be willing to admit that when we sin or we fall short from God, that there is some type of mentality or ideology that is connected to that. One of the things that God showed me early on was to learn how to recognize levels of repentance, was to say, what ideology or mentality is behind what you did and why you did what you did? And I had to start being accountable in more than one way. So we have to examine our own motives of why we do what we do, so we can start understanding, okay, this would be repentance. This would be not justifying my hurt and what I did, because we can go through the motions and say things, but at God knows our heart. How many times have we heard that growing up? How many times have we heard that in our studies, personally as well as in congregations where it's being taught about God knows our heart? God knows our heart, but do we know our own heart? And I believe that the Holy Spirit is there to show us where our hearts are so that we can learn to be close to God and get rid of those things that block us. And not knowing our own hearts is what keeps us from true repentance. But it really keeps us from intimacy. Intimacy comes first and then true repentance. True repentance and restoration. And then we always talk about revival. We can't talk about revival. We can't even talk about reconciliation until we talk about intimacy and true repentance.
That's right. Come on.
This is where the root of us understanding how important us under that repentance is an action word. It does produce fruit. It does. There are so many things that get in the way of us even having faith. And one of them, one of the things is when we don't turn, when we don't repent, when we don't turn away from our own thought process and whatever it is that gets in the way that produces sin, then how can we have faith? How can we turn to God? And then how can we have faith? There are many things that get in the way of us understanding, of us having revelation. It's a call to intimacy, to know who he is and what his purpose is, and then be in agreement. See, I believe, based on his word, that agreement is about repentance. So we're going to go to the Greek word metaneo. And this is one of the words. This is it was used in Matthew 4 and 17 when Jesus was calling people to repentance, but it's also the same word that John the Baptist used as well, being called to repentance. When I look up the working, the word itself is spelled M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O, and it's in the Greek 3340. If you go to the Strong's Concordance, that is also the index number. It says to perceive afterwards, after implying change, to perceive the mind, the seat of moral reflection, in contrast to proneo, to perceive beforehand. Hence, signifies to change one's mind or purpose. It's always in the New Testament involving a change for the better, an amendment, or you're changing, something's changing. It's not just a thought process of understanding it in your head, and God showing you that, Holy Spirit teaching you about what that is, coming out of agreement with it, and then having the expectation to know this is going to turn to change. This is going to draw me closer to the Lord, of course, first and foremost, but that is going to manifest and produce true repentance. A lot of times we know that just like anything that happens in our world or in our society, people begin to quote Chronicles. Second Chronicles 7, I think it is.
Yeah,
it's my people.
14. Come
Second
on,
Chronicles 7 and 14. It's my people who are called by my name. That we hear that a lot, and it's not taken out of context. It's important, but let's talk about the context of that scripture by itself, because what happened was that was an answer to a prayer that Solomon had prayed after the dedication of the temple. He prayed for many things. And he prayed for God to protect him, for safety. And this was part of the answer. And one of the answers was, "You God, I give you something to do. He going to give us something to do." And one of them was repent. Repent. Mm-hmm. Repent from your wicked ways, on top of some other things. But God had given him a vision after that prayer. And the vision and the dream, rather, was an answer to the prayer. This is what you all need to do. This is what my people need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And turning from their wicked ways and repenting was one of them. This word, metaneo, is used several times. And I want you to go, if you choose to go deeper into study of this word, it's mentioned 5 times in Matthew, 2 times in Mark, 9 times in the book of Luke, 5 times in Acts, once in 2 Corinthians, and 12 times in the book of Revelation. This word metaneo, which means changing of your mind. It's what you perceive afterwards, not before. So that means when I think of to perceive afterwards, that usually means after something has been done to break the heart of God, or something that has been done as it pertains to falling away. It's a perception that you get. It almost makes me think, and please know that this is just my opinion and my God allow us to do things that are off of his will so that we can learn. And it goes back to what I think Paul was saying in Romans about his kindness leads us to repentance, how good he is to us, how merciful he is to us. It brings us to repentance because eventually it brings us to him. Why did you do that? Do you know why you do that? Do you think that's okay? Whether it comes from a generational issue or something that just everybody does, and it's really not the plan of God. And he says, you need to repent. But when I think about the book of Nehemiah as well, when it comes to repentance, this was preceded because he saw a need at the breakdown of a wall. And he was full of repentance, and he began to repent for the people, and he began to repent. He said, we've sinned, you know, which is one of the manifestations of why the wall is in the condition that it's in. I love the book of Nehemiah for so many reasons, but this came to mind as soon as God began to tell me about what prayer precedes for repentance.
Yes.
There are many types of prayers. We talked about Solomon's prayer after the temple,
mm-hmm.
right? But I also
mm-hmm.
think about Nehemiah's prayer. I also think about Daniel's prayer. What prayer precedes
mm-hmm.
repentance? Before the call
yes.
of repentance, what things are going on in our society? What things are going on within our servant leaders? What things are we seeing to say we need to repent? Well, why do we need to repent? And a lot of times, many teachers and will expound upon the reason. And I said, Lord, why are you calling leaders to repentance? And there is a laundry list of reasons. Laundry list of reasons why we need to come to repentance. There's no intimacy. Therefore, there cannot be any true repentance. That is one of the conclusions I've come up through by reading and studying this. That
mm-hmm.
when you talk about the prophets ministering about repentance during that time, it was because of so many reasons, but it was about their sin, it was about the rebelliousness, and what the rebelliousness produced. Produced a whole lot. It definitely was not his design. We fell away, they fell away, so there was always a call
Jesus.
To repentance.
Yes,
and then he was always speaking and declaring
mm-hmm.
the prophets were about restoration, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
he knew they were going to sin, he knew they were going to fall away,
mm-hmm.
and then he also
yes.
knew that he was going to have to restore, but repentance had to come. I don't see it as more about, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, we're sorry for all the damage we've done. We knew we were doing this when we were, it's about, do you know the damage
Change.
That it caused? Do you know what
yes.
it did to my heart? Do you know how much
yes.
damage it caused? Not
come
just
on.
What you did, and what it affected.
Oh, amen. That's good.
So are
That's
we really
good.
Talking
good.
About
yeah.
damage control?
Hmm.
Or are we talking about
Come
something
on.
Else? We really need to talk about what the sin does to the heart of God.
Yes.
And I truly
amen.
Believe in able to engender
yes.
and cultivate true repentance is going to create a lot of breakthrough and a lot of healing and restoration in the body of Christ and revival is to talk about intimacy with God. You know, you have to be vulnerable to repent.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not vulnerable,
yes.
and if God is not dealing with you and your issues or even a collective thing that has happened that's created the need to repent, you have to be vulnerable. You got to sit there and take it. You got to sit there and let him show you and expose and assess the damage.
Yes. Yes.
Because there is
Amen.
Damage.
Yes.
And we have to be willing to understand, okay, if God is calling us to repentance, it's not just because of a topical sin that we can see, that we can understand, but it's
Come
usually
on.
Some rooted stuff that we don't see the damage.
Yeah.
There's so much that
Go
I've
deep.
Learned from me and my husband working on this house and renovating our house and understanding one level of damage and then levels of damage that we can't see
yes.
that we find out later because
mm-hmm.
of the details. Of seeing, and you know, when he's an architect, he knows when he sees certain things, there's more damage somewhere else. He might see a crack,
right.
but he knows where it comes
mm-hmm.
from. But he also
mm-hmm.
knows, because of his training and skill set, that if you allow that damage to continue and ignore it, it's going to be deeper damage.
Yes. yes
are we talking
amen.
About the damage that has happened to the body of Christ, but or are we talking about the damage that has happened to the heart of God?
Come on.
And that's those
on,
are two
sis.
Separate things. But God loves us. He's so merciful. It, he wants us to be aware, where are you at with in your opinion of who I am to you and who I'm supposed to be
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
You've totally fallen away from the things I've told you to do. He's a merciful God. So when we talk about repentance and all these different examples, like I told you, all those different examples in Acts and Luke, Peter calling the crowd to repentance in Acts 3:19, there was a healing that preceded that of the lame beggar. So they saw a miracle. So many times that's when you begin to call people to repentance. Also in 2 Peter 3:9, Peter encourages them because of the things that they're dealing with about how important it is to stay repentant. Jesus in 4:17 and Matthew, he comes out of the wilderness right? After being tested and tried, and he begins to say, repent. He gets stronger. Sometimes we know that we as
Hallelujah.
Service leaders, if we're called to speak about this issue, we got to gird up our own loins. We got to get strong. We got to get courageous.
Come on.
To be able to
Come
speak
on.
This lesson, to be able to teach repentance, because it's not easy. And then in Luke,
but
he was calling all people, all of us are called to repentance.
Yes.
If
yes.
you think that you have not sinned, you are deceiving yourself.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we all are called to repentance. And John, he says, if we say we didn't sin, we're not telling the truth. We have to confess
that's
that
right.
he's faithful
that's
and
right.
just
Preach.
That's
right.
And that's
Preach
so
for
important,
that,
whether it's to mm-hmm. one another, the day of Pentecost, right?
Mm-hmm.
After
yes,
they received
ma'am.
It. That was a great opportunity to call people to repentance. And Acts 17, Paul addresses Areopagus. This is one of the leaders. And his defense had to do to calling people to repent. And I already talked about Second Chronicles, what preceded that. It was an answer to a prayer. And Matthew 9. Okay, let's go. Oh, this is one of my last elements. When I want people to understand how God's kindness also draws us to repentance. And also how it helps us to bear fruit to repentance. Like I said before, repentance itself is not a work, but it's works. It's a means to an end. So there's several processes.
Yes.
Works, plural. It's not just one thing you do one time. It is going to lead, true repentance is going to always lead to intimacy, because I believe that at the end of this, it's about drawing us closer to God, drawing us closer to him, so that we can truly have that. In the body of Christ.
That's good.
It's something that, it's a lifestyle. I've heard Apostle Cook teach this, and I also, many leaders talking about how repentance is a lifestyle. But I also want to bring something up that I read that reminded me of something that Apostle Cook stresses a lot about forgiving yourself and how that's not even the issue. That's something that's taught in error, but being able to receive repentance. Being able to receive forgiveness has to do with repentance as well.
Preach.
When I saw this as a revelation, I was like, you know what? That's true. So how can you really repent when you're not able to really receive repentance?
Come on.
I mean, forgiveness.
There it is. There it is.
It's not going to happen.
Amen.
So we are manufacturing something else when we don't receive the forgiveness of God. We're manufacturing something else that is not his will. It's keeping us divided, and it's keeping us separate, and it's keeping us like
Preach,
this
baby.
Is just
Preach
a novelty it. Or it's just something that's not serious.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not treating
Jesus,
it that way. How
God.
We think about it. Receive the forgiveness from God so that you can repent and you can recognize when you need to.
Yes.
You're saying his word
Hallelujah,
is not good
Vanessa.
Enough. And so when I read that, I was like, well, okay, this is a full circle moment. That's really profound. And I truly believe that that can be in itself a definition of what wickedness is. When you begin to say what God did through Christ is not enough.
Yes.
That's a level of wickedness. That's a level of sin, I can say. And I will say that. Also, if we underestimate and undermine the word of God and the will of God through our thoughts, this turns into an action as well. We become presumptive. This in itself is sin. And when we just think that it is just a one-time thing, one and done, we underestimate and undermine the will and word of God through our thought processes, which means it blocks and it keeps us from hearing.
Yes.
And being sensitive to not just when we fall away, but we are sensitive to the effect that it has on the heart of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So I just want to close with that. I felt like this was a heavy word because while I'm preparing for it, and as you all know, I'm a crybaby. I cry. He just says, of course, you teach the word because it's for me. The word cuts coming and going, right?
Yes,
so
it does.
The sword of the word, it cuts coming and going. And just want people to be aware of the fact that it's not a bad thing when it cuts you.
Yes, come on, because that means you're getting better.
It'll heal you at the end of the day. So this is a heavy word, not because we can't bear it. This is a heavy word because I truly believe that if we are convicted, not condemned by what we hear, it is going to create great, great change. And the enemy doesn't want things to change. This shifts paradigms. When you begin to understand that intimacy with God will bring true repentance, then when we pray and intercede, things are happening the way they're supposed to happen. Then when a prayer changes things because there's intimacy, because there's true repentance.
Amen.
And it's ongoing.
Preach.
And it's a work.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a work.
That's all right, ma'am.
Work, world. So I just want to leave that with you today, and I don't want you to hear me or my passion. I want you to hear the passion in the heart of God.
God, yes.
That's my prayer.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we
want
to say today, I'm going to learn what true repentance is on my watch, on my assignment, in my life personally, and then God will begin to trust you more so that when you begin to serve from a place of true intimacy and repentance, everything you touch, everything you do for him is going to create change.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lord. I'm
going to
feel
it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
My sister, Pastor Vanessa, said that was a heavy word. But let me tell you something. She got me dancing around my whole house. Hallelujah. Because she told you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And like my, and I want to cut that. And what really blessed my soul is it is the perfect setup for what God is doing. God loves each and every one of his children. And he loves you so much that before the foundation of the world, he made you acceptable through his son, Christ Jesus. So you heard what the pastor said about the heart of God. He doesn't want anybody to perish, especially you. So right now, I just want you to stop. And I want you to really think about your eternal address. And if you do not know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, we want you to know that that breaks God's heart. But today is the day that you can change that by simply giving your life to Jesus Christ. And you don't have to try to fix your own self up. You don't have to wait till this happens or that happens. No, all you have to do is go to the Lord with your broken self, and allow God to ask God to come into your life and save you. Repent of those sins. And ask him to come in and show you how to live a life that's pleasing to him. Ask him to help you and strengthen you to live a life that makes his heart smile. Hallelujah. Come, ask him to come on in and help you so that you might help others come to know him. And all you have to do is just simply say to God, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin, because I truly believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of the living God, and that you came, you died, and you rose and ascended. That's the gospel in a nutshell, just for me. So Lord, now, Lord God, I want you to come into my life and save me so I can be used by you for your purpose and your glory. And it is in your name, Jesus, I pray it all. Amen and amen. Now, so everything with God is intimate and it's personal. So if you prayed that prayer in any shape, form, or fashion, I want you to know that you're saved. We want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to be the first to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the messenger. And we thank you that somebody heard and obeyed God.
Amen.
Amen.
So we just come thanking God for what he's doing. But before we get out of here, we have a few more orders of business. First, I'm going to ask that Pastor Vanessa come back, and I still want her to bind that word. Hallelujah. Because we know that that word is going to do exactly what it was set out to do, and we know that the enemy is mad, so we want that message to be bound, and that will be followed by our very own Bishop Lester Carver, because he always has a rhema word for the men. And yes, I am having my brother speak to the men every Sunday until we begin to see a change, a shift into the way God designed. Hallelujah, the family unit. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Vanessa, come on in and bind your message, and then Bishop Lester, come on in and give the men that word for the day.
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we just thank you today for your love and your sovereignty and your power and your might. Through your word, I thank you, Lord, today for renewing us and restoring us, changing our minds towards you and towards your heart. I thank you, Lord, today for filling us up with your word that will fill and manifest purpose and that will apply it in our lives, that we
yes, Lord.
Not just
yes.
in a vacuum, but knowing that there's mm-hmm. accountability and responsibility with what you allowed us to hear today. Bless your name and thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord,
yes,
today for faithfulness and for every
yes.
person to hear this, Lord, that there will be change that they will see.
Yes,
in the name of
Jesus,
Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Glory. Bishop?
Yeah.
Woo. The word for the men this morning is directly connected to the message that we heard this morning on repentance. Because when you talk about repentance, it affects and has to do with turning away from the direction you were heading in and turning to the opposite direction. So as the leaders of our households, the men have to deliberately turn away from serving the lust of the eyes, turn away from serving the lust of the flesh, and turn away from
yeah.
serving the pride of life, so that we can turn towards serving God and making his son, Jesus Christ, our master. So the verse I want to speak to today is in the book of James, and it's in the book of James, chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10, and it speaks of how humility cures worldliness. It says, therefore, submit to God, which is the first thing to do. Then resist the devil, and he will flee
yeah.
from you. The devil will flee from you. The
uh-huh.
third thing it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And see, this is how we come to God, and we repent from doing things our way. We repent from serving money. We repent from pleasing people. We repent from leaning to our own understanding. And we repent from doing things out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, so that we can become able to serve God, able to please God, able to trust God, and
Amen.
Able to obey God by operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. The second verse I wanted to go to was Ecclesiastes 5:19, which is powerful because it says, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. See, God has given us riches, and God has given us wealth. But in addition to the riches and the wealth, he's given us power to eat of the riches and wealth, portion of the riches and wealth. And he's given us power to rejoice in our labor of in order to acquire the riches and wealth, because this is the gift of God. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to embrace the word that you heard this morning from Pastor Vanessa regarding repentance.
Yes.
Understand
please,
that
yes.
you turning your heart toward God allows God to turn his heart toward you so that he can bless you the way that he wants to bless you. And understand that this word today was a word that you're going to be able to use and embrace and take hold of to allow to transform your life. So, Apostle Cook, that's all that we have for the
Amen and amen. Glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful service we had on today. I'm just giving God all the honor and the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. We want to once again just thank Pastor Vanessa. Hallelujah, for just letting the Lord use her in such a mighty way. Hallelujah. I want to just thank the servant leaders, Mother Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and, of course, our Bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, for always just making the service so rich. So I just praise God for all of that. Listen, my brothers, my sisters, we want to encourage you to join the servant leaders of Spirit Alive on tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time as we have our prayer meeting. As if you have turned on your television and you have seen all of the events going on, I don't have to explain to you why it's so important for us to come together in prayer. Because, see, when the times get tough, the people of God start praying. So please, come on out if you are at all possible and pray with us. We love to hear you pray, not just with us, and pray to God. We would love to have you. Then on Tuesday, I'm asking everyone that can to please come on out and listen to Bishop Lester Carver at his brand new time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and listen to his Tuesday night teaching. I know that his numbers are going to shoot this. Because because some of us older folks, 11 o'clock, we love you, but it's hard to stay awake sometimes, and that's just the reality of it. But the Lord has directed my brother to change his time, so I ask that you, everybody that can, come on out and listen to Bishop Lester for his Tuesday night teachings. And for more information about us, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, and any place else you listen to your favorite podcast. We're out there. We're out there. We're out there in Jesus' name to help you. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and it really is our fervent prayer that every child of God, every man, woman, boy, and girl, truly be ye transformed. So you are dismissed, my brothers and sisters. Continue to have a beautiful and blessed day. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. My beautiful family of faith, you are dismissed. I love you. Continue to have a glorious day. Thank you so much.
You
amen.
Love you all.
Love
you
guys.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Love you,
we love you.
Pastor Vanessa.
Amen.
Wonderful message.